Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, and it's Friday, August 25th. We're back with you, as always.
Always.
To entertain, inform.
We're here.
And hopefully not bore the shit out of you, you know?
No.
Well, that's the thing. I mean,
have people said we're boring? So
never.
Not once.
Never. Never. But, you know, if we have new listeners, they need to know what they're up against. So I'm saying we're definitely not boring. And we are proud of what we do. I mean, shit, you know.
We are loud. We are proud.
Think about it. We get up every day. We give them entertainment. And we don't really get anything from them in return. It's free entertainment for the listeners.
It's an act of selflessness.
Exactly. You know, so.
We're providing a service and not expecting anything in return.
Exactly.
Not
just that you
cent,
listen and maybe tell a friend or two.
Not $1.
Wouldn't hurt.
Yeah. Just tell everyone you know about it.
Yeah, right?
And your mom.
Yeah, yeah. So, at any rate, we're going to have a phone guest in a few minutes. We'll talk about social media and things like that.
My favorite.
And kids. Yes. It seems like everybody wants to talk about it these days, so we'll talk about that. Always something to learn, something new to learn.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting here is, I guess, Kasich, I guess, and... Hickenlooper, whoever he is, consider running in 2020 under a ticket. Now, Kasich, I know who he is. He was, a candidate, a Republican candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And but I kind of, he seemed to be the sane voice in the insanity, you know.
Yeah.
He called for unity and, you know, and calm down and shit, but...
What are his thoughts on Jewish people and minorities?
I don't know.
That seems to be my first question about Republicans. Like, I know where they stand, any other, you know, where typically Republicans stand. They're more fiscally conservative, lower taxes, you know, more freedoms. But tell me, what are your thoughts? Jews, minorities, gays, what are, you know, like, you have to be more...
Yeah, I mean, but it's not true that that conservatives are not tolerant, and that's, you know, I mean, and that's... You know,
it is true. The majority of them are anti. A lot of them are anti gay marriage, and you know, they're less progressive in their social. Not all of them. There are a lot of moderate Republican. Like my mom was a moderate Republican who was Republican. You know, fiscally, but like socially, she was like gay marriage. You know, whatever you want.
Right.
But the Republicans have a lot of like really Christian people, and in Christianity, gay marriage is not allowed. So it makes sense why they're not.
There's a lot of Christian Democrats, too. I mean, that's... I think you're using a lot of stereotypes for the Republican Party, and especially now I can understand, but everybody equates the Republican Party with the intolerant nationalists and populists and racists and stuff. That's not the case. That's not the case. If they hijack the party or they may misrepresent the party, that doesn't mean that that's the way it is. You know, and that's one thing
But that's what's happened. It's been hijacked.
I mean, everybody's turning against this president, you know. And I just picked up a book. No, of course. That's what I'm saying, though.
But he is ruining it for the Republican Party, just like temporarily. In people's eyes, Hillary ruined it, and you know, for the Democratic Party. But like at the end of the day, you know, you would never see Hillary out there like condemning white people on both sides, regardless. She would never say something like that.
Right.
So it's unfortunate that you have... But once you get... Once he's gone...
Right.
It will be back to normal. You know what I mean? Like, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, he's deconstructing everything that we've built, and that is anti-American. That
and
is
it's also happening on
things.
The other... It's not just Republican. I mean, I don't like the Democratic part. I don't like the figures that are there. They're very old school, you know? It needs to be just... Drain the swamp.
Right.
Drain the swamp.
It'll happen after a couple of generations, you know. We'll see how the millennials do in politics.
But I mean, you're for gay marriage, right?
I'm open to that. I'm open to abortion. I mean, and that's the thing that bothers me about the Republicans is they're so involved in these things. At the same time, they say government should be out of your life.
So you admit, Democrats aren't like that. But not when it comes to those issues. They are for government. I mean, they are yes.
Right.
When you're a Democrat, you're for more government intervention and control over things because, hello, look at us idiots. We don't know how to do it ourselves. But I like hearing you say that because we need people like you in the more conservative party. It's about personal freedoms. And
right.
I thought that's what the Republican Party
And it's
stood
not
for.
About party. That's why it's hard for me to
like
really
we would
align
never
with
tell
either
you,
party.
You can't have a gun.
Right.
Well, then you can't tell me who I can and cannot marry. And you can't tell me what religion I can practice. And you can't force another religion upon me. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
no, that's
this
true.
This country,
you know?
There's a separation between church and state. And
right.
I think a lot of times conservatives, a lot within the Republican Party, seem to get their religion mixed up with their morals and their values mixed up with the government.
Right.
Which makes sense.
But I think it's we have a pretty religious country in general.
Unfortunately.
You know? Well, for you. But some people might not say that.
But that
the
but
thing
it's
is
a
this,
religious
look,
country, but in
you
this
have
country,
to remember,
it's a separation between church and state.
Definitely there's a separation, but remember that the concept of God, regardless of religion, is on our money. It's
of
in
course.
Our, you
but
know,
that's where the conflict lies because we're in this. That's where the conflict lies. That's where I
well,
always.
Right,
up.
Right. But that's how. But that was
you know
the founding
mean?
Fathers. You have a problem with it. I understand. But the thing is, I don't think it's a bad thing to have God in people's lives. I don't believe, you know, I'm not, and look, I've said this a million times here. To me, God is something that is moral, that is power, that is like huge. I don't do the rituals, I don't do the cults, I don't do all the prayers and all this bullshit. Doesn't, you know, I'm not for the religious wars, things like this.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, God is something personal, but
I think
the founding fathers realized, right,
yeah.
though, that people have to have some kind of a spiritual thing in order for the
maybe
country to survive.
Maybe less about spiritual and more about, not. I hate that word control, but just more about order. You know what I mean? If there's something that people feel that they answer to, a higher being, a higher power, that, you know, because it makes sense. If people don't have something to live for.
Right, right.
Then where is the motivation to be a good person?
Exactly,
right?
Exactly.
Well, for me,
so where
I don't
does it
need,
come from?
I don't need that. A lot of people need to have that or, in you know, think that.
Right.
To have that motivation to be a good person.
Right.
Right?
Now, let me ask you this. Where did you learn that murder is not...
obviously from school, from the Bible. I went to Jewish days. I learned all these things from religion, of course. Of course. But to me, I went to so many different religious schools. I
right.
learned all about
so
religion.
You got turned off about
but
it.
I find it fascinating because it is...
Yeah.
It is our original rules. It is the original government, if you will. That's what gave us, you know, how to act.
It keeps societies together.
Exactly.
Would you agree?
So of course. But
right.
I also, at the same time, thinks aside from the Ten Commandments, everything else is just noise that tears people apart.
Right.
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 Because the Ten Commandments are everyone should follow those. I mean, that's just
right.
basic rules of like
and
how you
gotta
should live your life.
And you got to remember where they come from. You
right.
know, I mean,
but there are also
the
people who are just not smart enough to know that not everything should be taken literally and seriously.
Right.
And ideas are outdated, and you shouldn't, you know, like have concubines and you know,
right,
like
right,
stone gay people. But people, not everyone is evolved to think. You know how we think.
That's true.
So
that's true.
For
you
me
know,
personally,
I agree.
I think that is true. Some people need God in their lives. You know,
right.
whatever it takes. But for me, I think I can observe to be a good person without being like, well, it's going to get me to heaven. For
right.
me, it's just I have time on this earth.
Right. That's for
this
you.
Is
right.
My experience.
Right.
So I'm going to try and be the best and do the best that I can do while I'm here because life itself is a gift.
Right.
Because there is no guarantee afterwards. So it's like, for me, I feel lucky that I get to have this life experience.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree with you. What I'm saying, though, is without morality that
right.
comes
it
from a
chaos,
higher power,
100%.
Then morality would be merely an opinion. Whatever each one thought is okay, that's what would be okay.
I think that religion, because we don't really know... You know, there's a gap in time where we're like, okay, you know, we're in 2017. So 2017 years ago, like we know BC, AD, you know, like periods of time. But there's like gaps in history where we're like, what the fuck happened? How did we get here? You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right.
So I think that religion, at least, who knows, part of it, maybe, man, you know, the Bible or whatever, was put together by men who had these experiences long ago. And I think it was in order to keep order within the mass, because of course people would go crazy without rules and without structure. I mean, hello, if I don't have a structured part of my day, I go nuts. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, we need words to live by, guidance and whatever. So I think that's, you know, that was the purpose of it. But they didn't think, you know, thousands of years ahead where people are going to be evolved and think society is going to change. And maybe some of these things in the Bible are not, you know, conducive.
And look, I mean, we find even science that we're wrong every time we move forward.
Right, exactly.
You know?
Like, we find out things about the universe that were like theories that are proven wrong.
Yeah.
So, but for me, I can't be like, I'm a straight out atheist, because I just, for me, I'm not intelligent enough of a being to know about
to comprehend
afterlife. Exactly. Right. I don't think I have the capability.
But the thing is, what do you believe?
Here's what I believe. Right. You ready?
Yeah.
We just don't know. And that's okay. I can sit with that. And I'm okay with knowing that there is something there, whatever that is. Maybe it's nothing. Maybe, you know, maybe we don't go anywhere after we die. Who knows?
Right.
But I'm okay with like living in the moment and letting that be my motivation.
And I think that's what life's about.
I think a lot of people... And that's fine, but it's like their motivation is to go to heaven. And that's what they need to tell themselves.
That's the religious people.
You know what I mean?
That's what they do.
Or to keep them from going to hell. But us Jews, there's no hell. There's just, you know, maybe like...
No, there is.
Maybe Tijuana, Mexico.
No, Jews do
have, I know. It's our version, but it's not that, you know, exactly. It's being somewhere without food, shelter, and Netflix.
Yeah.
So.
It's not the Dante version of purgatory and all this shit.
But yeah, so I think that... Whatever it takes to make you be a good person, because that's what life, I think, is. Just be a good person, treat others how you want to be treated, and don't murder
and
don't
cheat.
And
you know what? Then you got to try it on the nail, because the thing is, they tell you, there's a little saying that says that, you know, one of the sages, you know, his student came to him and he said, you know, what is the Bible, what is the Torah about? In one sentence, and he said, love thy neighbor like you love yourself.
Well, that's what I'm saying. A lot of my values come from the Torah, come from the Ten Commandments, and I think, and I love that, but I think it gets lost when people start to look at religion like football teams, like mine is better than yours, and we're going to kick your ass. And it's like, that's not what it's about. And that's what I don't like about organized religion, is the separation and the you're either in the club or you're out. And it's like, no, dude, we're all in one club. We're all humans. We're all in the same life experience. You're not better than me, you know? And that's what I don't like about it.
Right, because
that's why we can't have nice things.
Right.
We ruin it.
Yeah.
Look at what we did to Ghostbusters. You know what I mean? So I just think that anything, I mean, that's what we do as humans. We take something that is beautiful, that is, you know, like given to us, the Bible, the Torah, these Ten Commandments, they were given to us. It's another gift from somewhere or whatever. Right. And we destroyed it.
Right.
We made us into these,
because it's become politics. Religion is politics.
Right.
That's
what it is.
You know?
And a lot of it is the leader.
Pope was a political leader.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And then if you look at a lot of, it's a business, dude.
They take
advantage of people. Like, and that's, you know, and that's why churches and places where they're like, come in, everyone's welcome, it's free, it's based off or whatever. That means more to me, offering the people a place to go, than like a church or, you know, a religion or whatever, that's like sucking people dry of their money because they're promising them something that isn't going to, you know, that isn't real.
Right.
So
I don't know. But, you know, I also look at religions in the way that they treat other religions, you know. And
like football teams, my team is better than yours.
Well,
you know, join
exactly,
this one.
Exactly. But I mean, you know, does the religion promote killing everybody that's not you? I don't know. You know, that's.
But that's what I'm saying.
But I don't want to debate different religions today.
No,
I'm just saying.
You know, someone, I think it was Stephen Colbert, did a really. I think you would really appreciate it.
So let's continue that, because the our guest is calling in. So hold that thought, okay?
Yeah.
Because we're gonna go back to it.
Yeah.
And we're gonna be joined by Karen Albert. Karen, are you with us?
Hi, I'm here. I'm with you.
Yes. Good morning. Thank you for calling in. I'm here with Rachel.
Hello.
And good morning. Hello, Rachel.
Hi, Karen.
Where are you
calling us from this morning?
I'm calling you from Denver, beautiful Denver, Colorado.
Wow. Is the weather nice there today?
It is beautiful.
Really?
Absolutely beautiful.
I'm dying to go to Colorado. I don't know why I haven't been yet, but do you live there or are you traveling?
I actually just relocated here. I was in Dallas for about 3 years, and about a month ago, I relocated here to the Denver area. So I'm originally from California, so you know.
Oh, so you moved around.
Outdoor weather, and then you go to Texas where it's not so much. Not so much the outdoor weather. So I was like, you know, I think I'm going to go check out Denver for a while, and I absolutely just love it here. Got my windows open. It's a beautiful day. Birds are singing.
I feel like you
all
would like
good.
Denver, Sam.
Yeah, I think I would, you know.
You've never been?
I've never been. No, only in the airport when
oh,
I was
man.
Connecting.
It's so beautiful, especially right
I
now.
I hear. That's why I was just thinking the other day, I want to go to Denver or at least Colorado, maybe even other places, you know. I mean, it's just, that's what I hear. It's beautiful there. The people are always so nice from there. So, well,
they're very, very nice.
So
and now you know someone who's here, Sam. So come on out.
Exactly, exactly. So you made a good move. You're following your heart and your happiness. Now, let me ask you
Amen.
This one. Yeah. Now, what? So you moved around a little bit, but so you're originally from California, right?
Yeah, Los Angeles.
Oh, you're from LA. Okay, cool. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you're talking to people back home. And in case you're wondering,
exactly.
We have great weather today, but we're anticipating a very hot week ahead.
Yes.
So we'll see. Above 100
well, I'm
degrees.
I'm telling you, I am saying some prayers for the people that are in the wake of Hurricane Harvey in the coast of Texas. Man,
yes.
I was just looking online, and that is
ugly.
It's scary, right?
There.
I mean, they're saying
millions of people are going to be.
And it's going to be a big disaster. I mean, can you imagine seeing this coming? Wow. Wow. Well, let's talk about a little happier things, Karen.
Okay.
So you're in social media. I see you have a website also called... tell us about your website a little bit so people can follow.
Yeah, thank you. I'm a social media marketing strategist and consultant, and the name of my business is Behind Your Curtain. So I do a lot for small business owners, entrepreneurs, startups, where I will basically be behind their curtain, kind of optimizing all their social media pages, finding their target market, creating strategies through paid ads and posts and tweets to get in front of a target market and really help increase and drive traffic to their website so they can get more business. So Behind Your Curtain is really that, you know, I make it look like them, but
right.
It's actually me behind their curtain.
Yeah, you're like moving the strings, right? But that's a good idea because not everybody has the time or the inclination or the knowledge to do all this. How long have you been doing this now, Karen?
Since 2011.
Oh, okay. So you've been doing this for a while. And so this is something you do every day, all day. So obviously you know what you're doing, right?
I hope so.
No, but I mean...
In me. Yeah, no, I do. It's all about seeing return on the investment and the efforts, right? So if I'm not showing return, then
That's true. You got to earn your keep.
Got to have an impact.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you know, we definitely need someone like this, and I know a lot of people that do, so you're definitely in the right business. And you guys can go to behindyourcurtain.com, learn more about Karen Albert and the services she provides. Now, I saw in the notes they sent me that you want to talk a little bit about the effects of social media on children. And so I would imagine you want to discuss that a little bit, which sounds fascinating, you know, because we talk about social media all the time from the maybe business perspective, at least. How do I get followers? How do I get followers? But the bottom line is we use that to communicate, and especially the young generation, we've discussed it here, how much it affects them.
Well, I mean, I'm so glad that I had my adolescence before, like, social media.
And it's
really made me reconsider having children because I just would not want to raise a child in today or be a child. It's just much, I think, different. I don't want to say harder or less harder because I don't want to take away from. But I also went to school for marketing and social media. So I've been doing this, you know, since 2000. 10, I feel. Yeah. You know, like I fell into this. So I've seen the effects that it has on our society, that it even has on us as human, you know, as users, and like our mental health, and just it's I definitely think it's going to be a phenomenon that future parents are going to have to deal with, this new, you know, issue, right? Of living, you have your life in real life, and then you have your online life, right? It's just crazy.
Two different things, yeah. Whereas online, everybody sees only the highlights of your life.
Right. Don't you wish you could just edit out your life like you could online? You know, just the happy moments, right?
Yeah, Karen?
Put an Instagram filter on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so true. We really do. It's sort of like we create, we have the opportunity to really create whatever we want our lives to look like.
Well, and also parents need, it's now, you know, parents growing up, like I was born in 1987, and my parents never really had to have that talk with, you know, the talk they had with me was like the birds and the bees, right? And but they never had that, like, okay, there's this thing called the internet and there's scary people, you know, like how, like that's a talk that parents are going to have with kids about responsible social media use, you know, how to conduct yourself online.
Yeah. What are some of the dangers, Karen? Kids.
Well, you know, and it's interesting because one of the things that I have been talking with parents about is I think we all kind of understand the impact that we have if we're posting certain things and we're saying certain things. But as parents, I don't think we necessarily take a step back and look at what is the impact that we could potentially be having on our children as a result of how we are conducting ourselves online and how we are behaving. And I believe that as the millennials evolve and grow and become parents, I think that it will be, they will be way better prepared and positioned to handle the introduction and the influence that it is going to have on their children, because they're going through it. We as parents, we don't understand the impact that a social media has on a 5-year-old or a 10-year-old or a 15-year-old, because we just didn't have it. And so we're kind of using it selfishly at the moment because we didn't have it. So we're excited about being able to use it. But it's important to look at what the impact is that you have on your children. Interestingly, Facebook, hands down, is the most influential social media channel out there in terms of where the parents are. Out of all of the social media channels, that's the one that the parents are
100% agree
most heavily using. It's like 93%, right?
Oh, my God. I feel like my entire timeline is just my friends that have become parents. And, like, I am just, I don't see pictures of them anymore. I just see pictures of their kids. And I think about, you know, my parents just took regular photographs that they put up, embarrassing photos on the wall in our house. These people are putting up embarrassing photographs on the wall of the world.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like the kids, I want them to simply take down the photos in the house. I'm like, I don't want, you know, the guys I bring home or like, you know, the pool man to see this. But these kids don't have that option. I mean, they're literally, friends who documented their entire pregnancy.
Yeah,
and just these kids are being raised on Facebook. And so,
Karen, I mean, everybody, and we were talking about this, that a child's life is documented from the moment they're born.
Even before they're born. I see mom who document their first trimester, second trimester. I mean, literally. Literally, the moment, even while they're being conceived, like we're having sex right now.
And the kid is going to grow. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what it seems like. It's just like, damn, like she puts up a first picture. Right. I don't even see a bump. And now I'm going to have to witness this child on Facebook for the next 18 years, you know?
Right. Which is why I think that as the millennials evolve, I don't think there's going to be as much of that from them, because just the way that the social media world is evolving is that it's becoming our level of entertainment, right, is going to be entirely different than what they're going to consider a level of entertainment. So we consider being entertained seeing pictures of the first trimester, the second trimester, and pictures of the babies and, you know, first day of school and all of that and the the biggest thing now is the announcements of the sex of the babies. Like, I don't know when that happened. That was like all, now, all these parties and, you know.
I heard about a party called the Sip and See. Have you heard about this?
No.
Okay, I was watching a Bravo television show. I guess this is like this is popular down south, but it was on Real Housewives of Orange County. It's literally where the women get together, sip champagne,
uh-huh,
and see the baby.
Really?
That's a party. I was like, are you kidding me? This is ridiculous.
Sip and see. Oh my god. Wow.
My goodness.
Yeah, where have we come to, Karen?
I just think that the way it's going to evolve is it's going to be kind of a different level of entertainment. But I think it as we now are grasping to utilize social media, that we just have to be careful and sensitive to what we're saying and what we're posting. And not so much, you know, each individual post, but it's really sort of what's the voice, what's the message, what are you trying to communicate, you know. And interestingly, there was a study last year that was done by the Pew Research Center that documented the difference between how women and parents are using social media versus the men and the fathers are using social media. And it's just allowing them, I think, that for their personalities to really come through. And where women are way more likely to be responding to the positive, right, like supporting and much more positive, whereas the men don't really respond that much. But man, when they got an opportunity to speak their mind about something they don't agree with, and that can kind of lead themselves to be a little bit more aggressive. And the large percentage of parents actually, like in the 90%, they use Facebook really to connect with friends and like past friends, and not as much with their parents or their children. And so if they're sort of thinking that that's the community that they're talking to, they're going to be less sensitive to censoring what it is that they're talking about. And so, you know, overarching message is just, they're always watching. And these kids are on technology to the extent that you know, they're born, right, with knowing how to configure a cell phone or you know, I mean, it's crazy. And so you just have to know that they are way more technologically advanced than we are. And you may not think that they're on social media, but guess what? They are.
That's all
and
they do.
They're watching you. Yeah.
They're watching us, right?
You.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you
yeah.
Just be sensitive to the voice that you're using. What are the words that you're using? And like you were saying, you know, how much are you actually exposing of your child's life, and how much are you actually, I mean, at a certain age, you can't ask them. But I think when they start getting into, like, you know, the preteen and the teen years, I think it's very respectful to ask them, is this okay for me to be sharing this about you? And because it may not have as much of an impact on you as the parent, but their lives are definitely going to be impacted by it. I have a 19-year-old, and I can tell you that all the time, if I take a picture and I'm with her, she'll be like, you're not going to post that, right? or she'll say, can you send that to me so that I can post it, you know?
So I can edit it and put the filter, so, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I've gotten a lot more sensitive, and I don't have as much in my social media community about my daughter, just because I'm respectful of that. And if she wants to, she can put it and tag me or what have you. But, you know, and she's not even on Facebook. And that demographic, they're like Twitter, Snapchat. That's kind of their, you know, their world.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. So we're talking to Karen Albert. She's a social media expert. I see you also have on your website, which is behindyourcurtain.com. Social media is for small biz, and I know I'm changing the topic a little bit, but I think we pretty much got the point across about being responsible in what you post on social media, because the kids are watching you just like they do in the real world, and you want to set an example, and also not to reveal too much about your family. You know, these are private things. So, yeah. So, but at any rate, you guys can get this free guide by going to Karen's website. So Before we let you go, Karen, tell us a couple of things that people can do, really, if they don't have the time. Well, obviously, they want to come to someone like you, and because it's not only the time, but obviously all the expertise and the knowledge you have about this. Where do you think social media is going from now? I mean, do you have any like vision of how it's going to like evolve in the next few years?
Well, it's not going away, that's for sure. I mean, it's definitely evolved from a, you know, from a business owner's perspective, where it started out like, you know, maybe I'll think about having social media as a part of my marketing strategy, to I have to have this as a part of my marketing strategy. So it's really just gotten to a point of figuring out what's the most effective way to incorporate that into your marketing strategy. And so what I recommend, and yes, please feel free to go to my website and download the free e-guide, because it's really the top 10 ways that a business owner can use social media to increase their business. And what I emphasize to businesses is, because a lot of them will just kind of go out there and try, and it's kind of that shotgun approach, and like, well, I'll post and tweet and see what sticks, and right. and that can just become very disillusioning and frustrating, because they may not see the response that they want. But right. What I recommend is get really clear first and foremost, or what are your goals and what are your objectives. So if you're trying to increase customers, how many new customers?
Right, and decide what social media and so forth. Are you still with us, Karen? I think she disappeared off the line. Karen?
Service. Yeah. Not service.
Yeah. Well, she'll call back, and then we'll wrap up the conversation. But yeah, go. I mean, it looks pretty cool. You get 10 ways to boost your business with social media from someone who knows what she's talking about. And here, you know what? I'll try and call her, and let's see if we can get her on the line again. But yeah, you see, obviously she's got a problem with her line. Maybe she lost the reception.
Yeah.
But at any rate, so we'll just wrap it up with her. BehindYourCurtain.com. Go check it out. I'm going to definitely check her out and see, you know, what she can do, because a lot of people are looking for this stuff, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, definitely.
You can get a free 15-minute consultation with her when you go to the website, too. So what have you got to lose, man? At least know where you stand with this stuff. So do you remember where we left off, or did you
totally
forget?
Oh, I was just saying, Stephen Colbert did this really funny, like, joke, segment about, like, radical Muslims or whatever. And he's like, imagine, I forget how he said it, but it was something like, imagine a Jay-Z concert, right? And like, everyone's there having a good time, but there's like one person there who literally knows every word to every Jay-Z song. Like, most of us know just like the big popular hits, but like, there's one guy there who's like going back and forth and just like, you know, chopping it up or whatever. He's like, that's the guy who's like radical Muslim. Everyone else is just normal Muslims, but there's that guy who like is just like going crazy and knows every word, and like, he ruins it for the rest of us. And
yeah,
it was just really funny.
Sense, yeah.
It was just funny how like how he put it, because I thought it was just like really brilliant. I think it was John Oliver who did it, but I was like, that's totally true. I mean, like,
right.
You know, and that's with any religion. There's just a group of people who, you know, like who takes seriously, like, even in the Bible, the Old Testament and or the New Testament or whatever, it said, you know, that says in there, like, you can stone gay people. Like, we don't take that literally. We're logical. Right. Just like Muslims don't take everything literally in their Quran.
Right.
Which I'm sure has things in it. Like, there's stuff in the Bible that's, like, wrong.
Right, but if you didn't... Okay, well, let's go back to Karen. She's calling back. Hopefully, we reestablish the connection. Karen?
Yeah.
All right. You disappeared for a moment there.
I don't know what happened. Yeah, I was just talking away, and then I couldn't hear you guys.
I know. So, we sort of just let everybody know to go to your website. Also, you offer a free 15-minute consultation. Can't argue with that one. So you're gonna actually listen to what people are trying to accomplish and tell them how you can help them.
Yes, exactly, absolutely.
Sounds yep. great. Sounds
that is
great.
In a nutshell. Yeah, I'd be happy to be able to any of your listeners, if they have a need, happy to talk to them and see if I can help support them increase their business through social media.
Awesome. And if people want to quickly directly go to your social media, where can they find you?
Yep, it's Facebook. My Facebook is Behind Your Curtain. Twitter is BYC Social Media. Instagram is Behind Your Curtain. And LinkedIn is Social Media with Karen Liz Albert.
Sounds cool. Well, I'm definitely going to follow you now because you picked my interest, and I really want to, you know, it's a lot of people say they can do social media, and it's like they talk the talk, but you want someone who can actually do things for you because you're running a business. You don't have time to waste your time with someone who's just like, yeah, I'm on Facebook and Instagram all day. Yeah, but what can you do for me?
I know. I always meet people who are like, I do social media. I'm like, I have a master's degree in it. Like, I went to school for it. I'm sorry. Yeah. Just because you have like 5,000 followers does not make you an expert in social media. I also have an account that I grew organically on my own. It has like my own you know, it has thousands of followers that like I didn't pay for. You know what I mean? It's all about it's all about finding your voice, putting out high quality content, you know, like, and just being unique. You have to have something that people are different and want to follow. It's just
right. Yeah.
Yeah, and find where they are. Know who they are and find where they are. Mm-hmm. Because just because you put a Facebook page up does not mean that everybody is then going to come rushing to you.
Yeah.
Karen Albert, you're full of information, full of knowledge, and full of advice. And we're ready to embrace this. So everybody check out behindyourcurtain.com. Give Karen a call or an email or just fill out the form on the website. And you'll probably hear from me soon, Karen, for sure.
Good. I would like that. Well, thank you guys so much. I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity. I really do.
Of course. Anytime, Karen. And,
let's do it again.
Yes, and give our best to Colorado. And, you know, actually, so you're in Denver, actually, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you see, like Rachel and me, we would love to live in a place like Denver right now because we love weed a lot.
Well, speak for yourself. I'm very happy here. Actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
We got some really good weed here.
Okay, but I wouldn't mind getting high a little bit in Denver.
You can hop, get on a plane ride and go to Denver, but like California is where people want to come here.
That's
you know?
True. They all do. Yeah. All right.
Yes, the cannabis industry is alive and well in Denver.
Yeah, we know that. It's not a secret. Yeah, all right, Karen, thank you so much. All the best to you.
Oh, thank you. You too as well. Have a blessed day, you too. Take care.
Thanks.
Take
care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, we were talking. Okay, listen, you want to talk about religions and Islam. I'd like to build a case. Let's do this. You build a case and I'll build a case and we'll discuss it here because I have so much evidence to show you that
this isn't an argument that has one answer that anyone can win because your experience is true to your experience is true to my experience.
No, absolutely. But I want to go to the sources. I want to go to the Quran. I want to go to Muslim writings and I want to go to the history.
Of the Bible, too.
I want to show you how Islam has spread itself.
And I want to show you how Christianity in the Bible, too, has also been taken really radical, like white supremacy, and interpreted like as such.
Okay, well, that was for religion, right? And we already agreed that, you know, for religion, religion can be dangerous as far as wars go. But what I'm saying
is
not all religions. Yes. Okay, because let me ask you this. Okay. Muslims invaded other people, right? Okay. Muslims haven't invaded other countries.
Where are you specifically talking about?
Okay, North Arabia. Okay, this started in like about 700 AD. Muhammad was born in Medina, and then he fled to Mecca. But that's a whole thing.
You're talking about in 700 AD,
right?
Muslims fled to North Arabia.
No. What I'm saying is they did not flee. Just Muhammad went from Medina to Mecca. Then he and his followers started spreading their religion by the sword. He believed that God talked to him, and he was gone for like several years. It's a whole thing, okay? But the point is, Islam became a huge empire, and it was spread by the sword. I mean, this is a fact. I'm not making it up. Mm-hmm. So, and for example, like Judaism was not. So when you put all religions,
what about
on the
Christians
on the same
from
scale?
What about Christianity from the Crusades and how they killed thousands?
No, but
thousands
I'm not denying
Jews
that. Okay, but I'm cool. I'm not denying Christians have killed as well. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying, but why are you putting like Islam and Judaism on the same scale? No, but you're talking about all religions. You keep saying all religions.
I said all religions have sects in them that are super extreme that ruin it for the rest of us.
Okay, that I agree.
Yeah,
that I agree.
For every religion.
Right, but I'm talking about the religion is the ideology, mm-hmm. okay, and in the past and the history. And Jews have never forced anybody to convert to their religion, whereas both Christians and Muslims did all the fucking time.
And like Jehovah Witnesses, like all Jehovah of these,
Witness,
a bunch of them,
not
we're
Jews.
Not evangelical, Jewish people. I know that.
What do you mean?
Jewish people are not evangelical, meaning we don't go out searching for people to
right,
convert.
Right.
I agree.
Exactly.
I know.
So I don't want
Neither
to put
do
this
Muslims.
Religion. What?
I don't think Muslims
really.
Do.
They spread it by the sword. How can you say that?
I'm talking about today.
Even today.
I've never felt. I've felt that with Mormons. I felt that with Jehovah's Witnesses. I felt that with Lutherans.
Felt what?
That like evangelical, where they want to convert me. But every Muslim
right.
I've ever met has. I've never felt that they have pressured me into.
It depends who you met in that religion, but what I'm trying to say
right,
to you
there's
is
a, what I'm that's what I'm you're proving my point is there's a small no, group of people within each religion that are extremists that ruin it for the rest of people.
No, okay, but what I'm talking about you changing the topic. Let's focus on the ideology of the religion. What does a religion say? How do they treat other religions?
You can say that okay. about any religion.
No.
Yes.
Because Jews do not go to war with people that don't convert to Judaism.
Open
that's
up the
not
Bible.
True.
There's so many.
Really?
Yeah, open up the Bible. There's so many things.
No,
like
no. Okay,
you can
so
stone
I open
people,
up the Bible.
Women,
no.
You can have concubines and wives. Like, people
but,
take
but this
that
is,
seriously.
No. Jews have never forced anybody to convert to Judaism or kill them because they're not Jews. That's not
that's
true.
That's fine. I don't. I'm
no,
not,
but that's
I'm
not fine because
I'm
Muslims have.
So what?
Muslims, so what?
So do we hate
but
all
because,
Christians because they do that
But
too?
I'm not saying to hate all Muslims. That's not my point. My point is that as an ideology, Islam is dangerous to the to other religions.
Radical Islam.
Well, okay, that's why I want to build the case. I want to show you that I agree with you. There's families. Look, I agree with you. There's a lot of families here. In America especially, Muslims that couldn't be the nicer people. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Mm-hmm. Okay?
They
but
also
what
don't
I'm saying this
kill
is
me.
But these are the Muslims you've seen in America.
So
you're
what?
Not seeing Muslims around the world.
Yes,
what
I
do
am.
You mean so what? They're filled with
I
hate
have,
over there.
I have friends
why does that happen in Europe and the Middle East?
I have Muslim friends that literally live in Saudi Arabia full time that came here last
Saudi
week.
Arabia, nothing's happening there. Look at the Middle East, look at everything, the fire, everything, there's fire, there's Muslims. In Africa where they kidnap
should I,
those girls.
Should I not give my Iraqi friend your number to start a radio station here?
What do you mean?
I mean,
no, but
she's Muslim.
No, but
is that okay?
That'll be awesome. Bring her on as a guest. I'd love to have a conversation.
Yeah.
And I'd love someone to shut me up
really,
about that.
She
because
has this really beautiful Instagram called Stories of Iran,
right.
Which is like Humans of New York, but the version of that. And she tells stories about people of Iran that through Instagram, you know, using Instagram and tells their stories. And
right.
I really, she's a lawyer. She's very smart. She's also a comedian.
Right.
I would love to have her on.
Right.
And
why isn't she in Iran right now? Is she here?
She used to be. She actually moved here a couple years ago.
Okay.
After living there for however long.
So she was under the Iranian regime, right? I mean, having to live with burqas and shit like that?
Yeah.
Really? And she was okay with it?
Well, she was okay until she moved here to do whatever she wanted to do.
Right, right.
I don't think it was necessarily as an escape. I just think she wanted to move
right.
here to pursue other
things. I can
things.
Understand,
yeah.
right. So... So she comes here and she decides she's not going to wear a burqa anymore, right?
She doesn't have to.
Right. So she does it there because she has to.
Right? Or maybe because she
wants to. So the government has a lot of control over your life there, do you agree?
I said, or maybe because she wants to. I was sitting at breakfast the other day, and there was a woman with a burqa in West Hollywood. Yeah, some people like it.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. No, I agree. But what I'm trying to say to you, look, we're always going to find individuals that are good people. I'm not saying this to you.
Yeah.
Okay? But what I'm saying is, as an ideology, mm-hmm. I mean, Churchill... have some, and I'm going to bring up some statements by Churchill about Islam, and that was back then. And I want you to see that, because I'm talking again about the ideology. If your friend does not believe the ideology, then she's not part of who I'm talking about. Okay. You know what I'm
you're talking about radical Islam.
She would not kill for
right,
her religion, for the religion.
She's not a radical Islam, but
exactly.
She's Islamic.
But she's not the force that's moving that religion.
We're agreeing on the same thing. It's called radical Islam.
No, but there's a lot of radical Islam. A lot. I mean, countries full, yeah. Right? I mean, Iran is totally. Radical. I mean, but what does radical mean to you? Sharia law? Is that radical to you? What's radical?
People who kill people for their religion.
Okay. So do they do that? So is there a place where they don't do that in that Arabia?
You would have
Arabia?
To ask her.
Okay. Bring her on. Mm-hmm. I would love that. And I would hug her before and after.
Cool.
I have nothing against it. She's from where now?
Iran.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Okay.
She's beautiful. She's so smart. And I saw her yesterday at an open mic. Actually, we ran into each other, and I was telling her about LA Talk Radio because she has her stories of Iran Instagram, which has a huge following. Wow. And she was one of the lawyers who, when Trump did the Islam or Muslim ban, she went down with my other comedian friend who also is a lawyer. Or they were both down there. Getting people, you know, grandparents who are being detained who have no who aren't radical Islams, they're just trying to get to their family or whatever.
Right.
She was down there, you know, just capturing stories from that time because, you know, there has to be documentation that these people are being. There's propaganda about people that are just simply trying to get through the airport. I mean, they're, you know, they may be Muslim, just like we may be Jewish. You know
right.
what I mean?
No, I mean, and nobody condones that. I mean, that
so anyways,
a decent human being would not condone.
So, right. So basically, she was mentioning about like starting a podcast, and I was like, yeah, I do, you know, so here. So I told her about you, and we should definitely have her on.
Yeah, let's have her on. I'd like to have, these deep discussions because the thing is this, in politics people think, oh, if I argue hard enough in this and if I prove things enough, I will change the other side's mind. It never happens, you know. So rather than try to change people's minds, everybody just expresses what they feel and people listen and you move on, you know, because it's not going to happen. People don't change each other's minds. But that's what the show really is about. Mm-hmm. And I want everybody to understand it's about expressing opinions. I don't expect you to, because it's not important to convince you or for you to convince me. It's not about that.
I think, okay, think
it's
like,
about the show,
like,
you know?
Like, look at, I don't know, you don't go to, you don't go to temple every Friday, I'm assuming.
No,
you don't
at
observe
all.
Shabbat every Friday.
No,
right?
I don't.
But you are Jewish.
Right.
It is your religion, it
right,
is your culture.
Right.
I think that is very similar to every religion and every place. There are people like me and you who are like, yeah, we were born this way, we were raised this way, maybe we went to these schools, maybe we learned this, but we don't identify with the radical part of it. We are not gonna be Orthodox Jews. It doesn't fit into our lifestyle, into our, you know, that's not us, that doesn't speak to us. But we're Jewish, we're culturally Jewish or whatever. I think that can be said for, you know, like, I think what we see on television, of course, a lot in the media. And there is a problem within radical Islam. There is. We have a problem with it for whatever reason. And now, obviously, because of social media and the media, it's everywhere. And that does not do a service to Muslims who are not radicalized
That's
and who
true.
Don't want to kill Jewish people and who could give a fuck about what the Quran says. You know what
so
I mean?
So let me ask you this. Whose responsibility is it? And we have to wrap up, Rachel. But let me ask you this. I'm wondering about your opinion. Whose responsibility is it to bring down the Islamic radicals, the extremists, the Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood and Al-Qaeda and the Muslim state, the Islamic state. Who's going to bring them all down? Whose responsibility is it?
I don't have the answer, because I don't really know what the answer is, because this is something, again, within the last however many years that we've been having these instances popping up out of nowhere. Right. I don't know what the answer is. I think knowledge is power. I think education is one of the most powerful tools, you know? So I think that whatever that means, I mean, I don't know the answer. It's a difficult right. concept to have to think about eliminating an entire group of people simply because they are, you know,
trying to kill us all.
Radical.
Right? Yeah, right.
So,
and we can continue this next time, okay? All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. We thank Karen Albert for calling in. Go to our website, behindyourcurtain.com, and you'll find out why it's called that way. I guess she moves your business from behind the scenes, and you get all the credit. Sounds good to me. Rachel, have a great weekend.
You too.
Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you all on Monday.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel exclusively on LA Talk Radio.